Let's turn to Isaiah right now. As your pastor's holding up your calendar, I liked your theme there. And I've preached from the book of Isaiah many times. The Lord put something on my heart here. I like this here, Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. It's one of my favorite verses. I don't know if it's just because I'm a missionary or not. But you know, I think it's God's will for all of us to serve him.
Sure.
Not just for the pastor, not just for the missionary. But God has called every Christian into service. And I want us to see this here for just a moment, you know, and especially as they're singing these different songs about, you know, how he touched me. And, you know, and God did touch us as far as for salvation, but has also called us into his service as well. I don't think that's the same thing when my wife says I'm a little bit touched, is it? I don't know. That's probably something different. But anyway, and also about it's my desire to serve him, you know, the song she was singing earlier. And for just a little bit, let's look here about what must I do to serve God. As we're starting this new year, what must I do to serve God? What are some things that we need to do to ensure that we serve the Lord this year and to help us in our service to him? And I want us to read here in Isaiah chapter 6, and let's read here in these first few verses. Isaiah chapter 6, we'll start off by reading the first four verses here. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and twain he did fly. One cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Now, as you think about these verses here and you think about what must I do to serve the Lord, the first thing, we'll just look at three things here this afternoon. The first thing is you must see God for who he is. You must see God for who he is. Think about this as we see these verses here. And let me just mention this as we get into here as well. You know, it talks about in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. Many times he's been preached, and I've preached about this before, is that we must keep our eyes on God. We can't put our eyes upon a man, because if we do, that would distract us in our service for God. But one of the things that's interesting also is I was reading about this, and when I first went to Uganda, and we found out about some different things there. In Uganda, President Museveni has told people he does not know how old he is. Now, some people think he's just giving them a hard time because in the Constitution there's age limits, you know, and he just wants to keep running, they say. But what he told people is that I was born around this event. And there are several other people in Uganda that I met that way that do not know actually the day they were born, but they will take a major event that happened and will say around this time when this happened, that is when I was born. And I was thinking about this as I read this one day, and I was thinking, well, it may be that he's just saying when King Uzziah died, this is when this event happened. It may not be that he had his eyes on the king, or it might have been. Either way, there's lessons to learn there. But, you know, we need to make sure that we do keep our eyes on God. And as we read these verses here, it talks about how they cried, holy, holy, holy. You know, first of all, of course, he is God. And as we think about, we must consider who he is. Think about this. Is he worthy of my time? You know, many times we think, well, I don't have time. If I have more time, I could serve God. But all of us have the same amount of time. And the fact is, some people make more sacrifices than others do with their time. Just like some people make more sacrifices financially sometimes than other people do. And it might just be that's what God put upon their heart. God deals with us in different ways. You don't have to be like everybody else. You don't have to do exactly what somebody else has done. Somebody might give one amount of money, but God put something else in your heart, maybe less, maybe more. It's important to do what God has put upon your heart to do. God calls some people as pastors, some as missionaries, some maybe as Sunday school teachers. He's called all of us to be faithful. He's called all of us to be a witness, to share our faith, to go into all the world, and to preach the gospel. That's a call to every one of us. Even in Uganda, we teach our people about those things. And in Uganda, we teach our people also about giving to missions as well. They help a pastor who's up in South Sudan. They help the one there in Rwanda and people there in Uganda as well and giving because this is a call for every person.
Amen.
But as you think about who God is he worthy of my time? Of course, all of us would say yes. That's why we're here today. Because we know he's worthy. Is he worthy of my finances? You know, as we give in our church, we're not just giving to the pastor or to the missionary. We're giving back to God. We're giving back to which is really his. He is the creator. He is the one who's given us the ability to make wealth. He is the one who's given us the capacity to think, to do everything that we're doing. It's because of him. Who is he? He is God. He's the creator. He's the one who's given me the abilities to have what I have in this life. There in Uganda, it's been interesting over the years as I've been preaching and talking to different people and counseling. There's some people. Matter of fact, there's one man, even I was witnessing to him, and he told me, he said, Pastor, I'm too poor to get saved. I'm like, well, it doesn't cost any money, you know. And then there's others who are already saved who are saying, well, Pastor, I just don't have any money, and I just have to spend all my time and looking for what I need, and I'm just trying to survive, and I want to serve God, but I just don't have the capacity. I just don't have the ability. I just don't have the time or the finances to serve him. And then some of those same people even then get money. And now they're too busy to serve God. Well, now I've got this business and it's taking all my time and it's taking all this effort. And it's like, and it's a matter of priorities. It's a matter of who or what is more important in my life. Does he truly have first place? Who is he? He's God. And he is worthy. And he deserves to have first place in my life. And so I need to recognize who he is and the position that he deserves and the position that I say that he already has, and to make sure that he's truly there in my life or in my heart. Amen. Yes, I'm saved, but he wants me to serve him. And if I'm going to serve him this year, I need to make sure I keep him in first place in my life. I have to remember who he is. He is worthy. He is holy. When I think about the holiness of God, it should help me in my own life to remember to be holy as well, because the scriptures even say, be holy. Why? For I am holy. We're to be like Christ. We're to be like him. Not to conform to the world, but to conform to his image. Amen. To be like him. And this is the first thing. We need to really think about, who is God? Is he worthy of my praise? Is he worthy of my time? Is he worthy of my finances? Is he? And to give him first place in our life. Also, we must be right with God. So number one, we must see God for who he is. Number two, we must be right with him. Verse 5 here. Then said I, woe is me. By the way, let me just mention this. When you see God for who he truly is, you're going to see yourself for who you are.
Yes, you will. Yeah. Amen.
And you're going to be with Isaiah here. Not saying, look how good I am. But boy, without me, this church wouldn't make it. But without me, this world would be in trouble. Now Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am undone because I am a man of unclean lips. When he saw the Lord, he understood how unworthy he was. He saw the sin in his own life. I think it humbled him in a great way. And he said, I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King. So he called him the King. He saw the Lord. He said, I've seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and laid it upon my mouth. And said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. When Isaiah saw the Lord, he saw himself. You know, of course, many people refer to pride as original sin. Some people say just about every sin you can think of probably stems from pride. And there's a lot of that that probably is true. I'm not going to get in a debate about that with people or anything like that. But we know that is one of the problems we have. And we need to make sure that we do humble ourselves before the Lord. Because if we have that sin in our life, it's going to hinder us in our service to him. It's going to keep us from serving him. If we lift up ourselves in our own eyes, now here it's talk about and the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Now, maybe it was just placed on the time and the date about when this happened, this is when I saw the Lord. Or maybe he did have his eyes on someone or something else, I don't know. But I know that can be very true in my life and the life of each one of us here. There's just sometimes we get our eyes on different things that distract us and that draw us away from the Lord. Sometimes there's things that God wants us to do, and we don't do them. You know, that's called disobedience. Some people have said before to me, well, Pastor, it's not a sin if I don't do this. What is if God told you to do it and you don't do it? Just like my children, if my kids disobey me, they know there's going to be problems. And we must make sure that we're right with Him. And these are things that we preach there in Uganda as well. These are things that we share with our people there. I had one guy there in Uganda at the end of the service. He came back to the back door one day to shake my hand. He says, going out. He said, Preacher, that's a good sermon. He said, you ought to preach against sin, Preacher, but you shouldn't name it. I thought, oh, sin is bad. Don't do bad things. Sin is bad. No bad things. No. There's things that we know we're not supposed to do. Then, of course, there's things we know we're supposed to do that we don't do. Now, those are challenges that we face all over the world. You know, my dad is in the Air Force. We got to travel a bit when I was younger and lived in some different countries and different things. And people have asked me before, they said, what's different about these different countries and the different things and the different places? And I told them, you know, some cultures are different, food's different, and languages may differ, but people are really the same. You have the same problems, the same fears, the same needs, the same sins. That's why the Bible's still relevant today, because it speaks to the heart. It speaks to the individual. Because we're really the same. Doesn't matter if you're in Uganda or if you're here. It's the same thing. That's why this book is for all people, all languages. Doesn't matter the color. Doesn't matter where you're from. It's for all of us. And there in Uganda, we're doing the same work there that you're doing here. Just in a different location. And so we're reaching people there with the gospel, just like you're reaching folks here. We're teaching them and training them about serving the Lord and establishing more churches there and helping them there in that country. But you know, if we want to serve the Lord, then we must see God for whom He is. We must be right with Him. And the last thing is we must surrender to Him. Look at verses 8 and 9. Here it says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Now, I'll read this next verse in a moment, but I mean, think about this. Now, I had a couple of guys, matter of fact, my first two guys who came from Bible college, when they first came there and they were talking to me, they said, so Pastor, when you graduate, what are you going to do for us? I'm like what? Well, they're like, well, you know, I mean, how are we going to live? You know, I mean, we need money, like, you know, and medical, you know, we need certain things, you know, to live. I said, well, when you graduate, what I'll do for you is nothing. They looked at me. What? I said, I'll teach you how to preach. I'll teach you how to start a church, to build a church, to preach about tithing, to get people in. I said, the church might vote to help you out some as you go out. I don't know. But I said, but you're not going to go down to any university down the road and walk into the university and say, okay, I'm here to be trained, and what job are you going to give me after I graduate? Life, they'll still be laughing at you when you walk out the door. It doesn't work that way. You know, in Isaiah here, it's interesting when he said, whom shall I send and who'll go for us? Isaiah didn't say, well, Lord, where is it you want me to go? Can I find out about that first? Lord, what's the salary? What are the living conditions? What type of diseases do they have over there? I don't know. Isaiah, I don't think, asked any questions. He just raised his hand and said, here am I, Lord. Here am I. Send me. And by the way, those two young men are still serving the Lord today. They said, all right, we'll try God and see what happens. And it's been amazing to see how God has worked in their lives. One of them is Pastor Sadek, you saw in the video here. He's now preaching two different places and preaching full-time on a radio station, managing a Christian radio station, and reaches most of the country of Burundi, part of Burundi, part of Kenya and Congo and Uganda. Thousands and thousands of people here on the radio every day. Many people getting saved. And it's amazing to see how God has worked through his life, and also Pastor Amos and helping get churches started and buying church land for the pastors and doing things. And it's amazing to see how God has worked on their life. And they were scared to death when they first started. Then, no idea how God is going to provide, what God is going to do. Even Pastor Amos, as he's going through Bible college, decided to get married. I told him it's not a good idea. It's better to wait till after Bible college. But he was in love, and he got married. Now, he tells people, you shouldn't get married till after Bible college. It's hard. But, you know, while he was there, that's when that guy tried to steal the land for the church while he was in Bible college. Pastor Amos had managed to get a small plot of land and was wanting to build a house. This guy told him, if you turn against Pastor James, I'll help you build a house. I'll help you. I'll buy you a car. I'll do this. I'll do this. All these things for you. And Amos told him, no, it's not right. And he stood up and he did what was right. And you know what God did? God gave him a house.
Amen.
God gave him a car.
Amen.
God's given him a very good job now. He works full-time, and he works at the church also, volunteers his time there. It's amazing to see what God can do when even when you're scared to death, you just step out by faith and say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And that's what we're seeing God do there in the lives of the people there in Uganda. We've seen people giving the offering, and then they walk home sometimes because that was their money for public transportation. Now they're walking home a couple miles maybe. It's amazing to see different people there who said, if this is what God wants, this is what we'll do. And you're talking about people sometimes who make less than $100 a month. Some will make less than $1,000 in a year. Some of them, if they don't get work tomorrow, the next day, they may not have food for their family. And it's really humbling many times to see them taking those steps of faith. And see people like that saying, Lord, if you want me to give, I'll give. If you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, that's what I'll do. And that's the same thing that God wants for us today here as well. Here am I, Lord, send me. Doesn't matter what it might be. It might be that someone in here today, God wants you to be a pastor. Might be that someone in here today, God wants you to be a missionary. You're a Pastor Amos. I mean, we need more missionaries there in Uganda. We have four places right now. They've offered us land for free, but there's no missionary, there's no national pastor right now to go. I can't be in every place. We need more missionaries in Uganda and throughout this world. We need more churches here in Georgia, I'm sure, and throughout the rest of our United States. Probably need some more Sunday school teachers or helpers sometimes. Probably could use some more people passing out gospel tracts or going out soul winning. There's always a need. Oh, we want to say, here am I, Lord. The thing I found in Uganda is I've gone up to some people sometimes and asked them, can you help? And they're like, oh yeah, I've been wanting to help. I've just been waiting for someone to ask me. Well, consider yourself asked.
Yeah.
Will you serve the Lord this year? Will you say, Lord, here am I?
Yeah,
think about this. Every year people make goals, don't they? To lose a set amount of weight. I quit doing that. I never make it, so I just quit. You know, I'm not going to make those promises anymore. But, you know, we have certain goals, don't we? Maybe you set some goals for the new year. Or maybe at work you have a certain goal that you want to reach a certain level of management or a certain position. Or, you know, they have certain pay raises you can get maybe where you're working. And you have a desire, you have a goal each year about what you want to do or where you want to be in retirement or with certain age, certain levels, whatever it might be. We set goals in life for many different things. But what goals have we set this year for how many people we want to invite to church? Or for how many gospel tracts you want to hand out this week? Or for how many people you want to actually get in church? I'm not going to just invite this many people. This is how many people I want to get in church this year. Or how many people I want to witness to. You might say, well, I don't know how. Well, I didn't know how one time either. Neither did your pastor. We all had to learn. There's a lady in Uganda, one of our ladies there came up to me one time and said, preacher, she said, I want to be a soul winner. I want to tell people how to get saved, but I don't know how. I asked her, I said, are you saved? She said, yes. I said, how'd you get saved? She gave me a wonderful testimony. I said, man, that's good. Now go tell somebody else what you just told me.
Right.
A witness is someone who tells somebody about what happened to them or what they saw,
right,
what they experienced.
Amen.
It's not some foreign thing. If you're saved, you experience that. You trusted Christ, your Savior. That's why I love Gospel Tracts. It even has all the verses laid out right there. Someone even have a little prayer in the back. It's not praying a certain prayer, but trusting Christ, your Savior.
Amen.
But if you want to learn how, I bet your pastor will even help you.
Yeah.
Go send you somebody who can talk with you and you can learn about that. But just doing whatever we can. And for different people, there's different things we can do. But just having that ability and saying, Lord, here am I.
Amen.
What about your neighbors? The people at work? Your friends, your relatives? There are some people I'll never be able to reach with the gospel. Maybe they won't listen to your pastor because they don't know us. But they know you. They trust you. They'll listen to you. And they'll do some things for you that they may not do for anyone else. Have you ever invited them to church? Do you keep after them? Do you encourage them? Have you ever shared the gospel with them? Taking advantage of those opportunities to share our faith. Your pastor mentioned his desire about wanting to take on more missionaries this year. How can we do that? Well, maybe it might be God might speak to the hearts of some here to say, I want you to give more. Well, how can I give more? Well, don't go to Starbucks. Go to McDonald's. You'll save enough money there in a month, you know, to support several missionaries. And there's ways you can make sacrifices, amen. Hey, what about getting some more people in here and teaching them to give? There's different things we can do to increase our giving. But we have to be willing to say, Lord, I'm going to serve you this year. I'm going to do more for you this year than I did the year before. Here am I, Lord. And then that next verse is where he said, and he said, go and tell this people. Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Verse 10 says, make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. I don't think this is the idea that Isaiah had in his mind, about this is the ideal type of ministry, Lord, that I want to, I mean, I just want to go preach in a place where they're not going to listen to me. Praise the Lord. Nobody's saved. Nobody's going to come to church. That's the kind of place I want to be, right? No. I love this next verse. Then said I, Lord, how long? That's like, Lord, what did I just get myself into? Lord, how long is this going to be? How long do you want me to do this for? You know, when you start serving the Lord, it's not always easy.
No.
Oh, no. And you might start thinking that, well, maybe I'll try this out a few weeks, but I don't know how long I can make it. I don't know how long I can last. Lord, how long? Look what it said here. And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. This is a lifelong calling. We're to serve him all our life. Not just for a few years, a few moments. But I'm to give my life to him. Being a Christian is not something we do. Being a witness is not something we just do. It's supposed to be who we are. We are to be a witness. It's supposed to be part of who we are. And this is what we need to commit to this year. This is what we challenge our people there in Uganda to do. And it's exciting to see some of those folks going out soul winning and talking to people. There's one lady that she'd go out and she'd have a gospel track and she'd just put it out there and ask, are you saved? That's the first thing she'd say. You know, and about that loud too, you know. And people just kind of stand back, you know. And, you know, she learned in time how to do some stuff and she'd see people getting saved. And, you know, it's exciting to see people there growing in the Lord. And you've had a part in that. If you've been given to missions through your church, you've had a part in helping us to reach people with the gospel. But one of the most exciting things you'll ever have in your life is when you're the one that gets to lead someone to Christ. There's nothing like that in the world. when you're the one that gets to open that book and to share with them how to be saved. I tell you, you want to have revival? Lead someone to the Lord. Now, revival is when we're on fire for God. But when you lead someone to the Lord, it's something that's exciting. And it's something you want to do again. Amen. And when you do that, you'll even have more of a burden for missions and for reaching others throughout this world as you get involved personally in reaching others with the gospel. And so you see these three things here this morning about what must I do to serve the Lord. You must see God for who he is. He is holy and he is worthy to have first place in my life. He is worthy to make those sacrifices for and giving of our time and of our finances. Also, we must be right with God and we must surrender to him. Have you ever surrendered your life to him? Whatever talents or abilities you may have, or even if you say, I don't have any, doesn't matter. You have the ability to serve him. All of us do. We just have to be one to say, Lord, here am I. Let's pray, dear Father, we love you and thank you for the message this morning. Lord, I thank you for the church here and for the testimony they've had all these years and the pastor, Lord, and his faithfulness. As I mentioned, it's 15 years now, Lord. That's tremendous. There's so many pastors that are only there for a few years, and thank you for his faithfulness. And Lord, there's so many here that have been here for so long as well. And Lord, we just thank you for that. And dear Father, we pray that you'll help us this year to be committed to you and to be more faithful than ever, Lord. And to be able to just say, Lord, here am I, send me. Whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, I'm willing and I'm ready. Dear Father, help us to be faithful in these areas. And we ask you to bless now this time. We thank you, love you in Jesus' name. Amen, Pastor.